Chapter 15, Secundus. I circled in like a shark. LT Davin knows my name and she knows you're my brother. How could that be? We both knew the prescribed anonymity of noble houses by heart. Ram's position as an officer of the guard had put his name and identity front and center, but not mine. Ram took his time in answering.
You may have hit the mark with that one.
You got lucky. He reddened.
Dial it back, little brother.
That's it, isn't it? That's why you joined up. LT Davin had thrown her name into the hat of the Imperial Guard, and you couldn't see her leave without you.
It may have been a factor.
Did you know that she blames herself for what happened to me?
Kitra hasn't mentioned it. Should I be worried about your interest in older women?
She's not that much older than me. What, maybe 5 years?
7 and all the finer for it.
I'm beginning to appreciate your style.
You didn't before?
Ram, you didn't have any before. Inquisitor Gabriel Mantisera knew my intentions and pulled me aside. He bid me good luck on the mission to Hive Secundus and made one thing perfectly clear about Warrant Bast. If I broke her, I would pay. Inquisitor Agrimont had gotten the message the hard way, and Mantisera thanked me for that as well. The boundaries between Ordos of the Inquisition were prickly at best. Mantisera wasn't a psyker, but he recognized the harm that had been done to Keegan Bast. The only thing more ruinous to a psyker than being mind-compelled was the rending of one's soul. We were sensitive to the flow of energy throughout our being in ways that humans couldn't comprehend. It's what made being warp-marked or tapped out such an excruciating affair. The Firehead was born of betrayal and desperation. Primaris Lucian Cano had gone rogue, collecting every shred of power available on his way into the clutches of chaos. The souls of those in Keegan's pyro arc had been torn away in the final sadistic exchange. The betrayal had destroyed her trust in everyone except the Ogryn commandos and Captain Finn, who had remained true during the sudden onslaught of desertion. Lord Mantisera had given Keegan equal standing in the Tertius Underhive and total responsibility for its defense. His bet had paid off, and a fiery goddess savant had emerged to stand on her own. Recognizing a new reality, I stowed my new lieutenant's tags for the time being. I was a grunt more than an officer, and when it came to Warrant Bast, there was a tremendous benefit to equal footing. Keegan remained free of the psyker net, and it gave her confidence, allowing a truer bond to grow between us. She decided how to share her dark energy and when. She decided whom to trust. The glint of light in her eyes was all the more tantalizing for it. I craved everything about her, and every minute became another excuse to be by her side. There was a second reason for hiding my promotion. The relationship between a funnel and their arcs was immensely important, and I'd been negligent in that regard. With an eagerness to operate independently, I'd broken my promise straight out of the lift when it came to protecting my savant platoon. Like Keegan, the two arcs were grieving a loss and needed a chance to recover before an officer's commission set us further apart. I called for a midnight session in the forward trenches, swapping unreal energy for the sweet sensation of oneness. It built up my reserves and burned away any lingering doubts about where we belonged. Keegan joined in with molten energy as arcs of white lightning danced across my shield. Up and down the First Division's line, a mile in each direction, an unbreakable blue canopy shimmered, sealing away the night and the Felguard that still loomed in everyone's mind. We barely slept. Our Ogryn-sized cot was bigger than necessary, and we kept it warm without any pyromantic effects. I'd only known Keegan Bast for a few days, but we'd connected in the Underhive in that first potent kiss of fire. Offering all the benefits and none of the pain, my funnel ability drew Keegan in, and for once, I leaned on my own kind to get through the following day. The plan was small in scope, but large in its ultimate effect. We had a Valkyrie to catch an hour before dawn, and a fast trip up the Great Rift to Hive Secundus. The gunship would snatch us from a spaceport pad west of Primus and drop us a mere mile from the glow of the fallen city's shield, in a maneuver that would certainly garner the attention of many. Our intent was to lure the Secundus defenders out into the open and pound our way into the city. The Imperial Guard would track our progress and direct artillery salvos on top of our position. The friendly fire tactic was rarely used for its unpredictable and wide-ranging effects. That the enemy would likely be doing the same only added to the nerves pulsing in my stomach. The trick, according to Inquisitor Mantisera, was to keep moving forward and have an arc-backed psyker funnel holding an umbrella. The hidden existence of the cluster's engineering key and the Ordo Malleus badge in my pack would keep the wolves at bay, but I couldn't stop them from circling. As Keegan and I waited on the little-used transport pad for our early morning ride, a she-wolf stepped out of the shadows, catching us both by surprise. I said, "Good morning, Olivia. Come to see us off?" Thumbing the charge pack on her hip, Commander Olivia Preston flaunted the armament of a Hive Arbiter, but in an entirely enticing form. Sure, she was twice my age, but the hand of a sleepy-eyed pyro grabbed my chin strap.
"Five. Buckle up before you start to drool."
I was only admiring the commander's hellgun. Do you think she'll use it on me?
"You already got lucky once this morning. Don't make me regret it."
Point made. My eyes returned to their rightful owner. A mix of adrenaline, hormones, and fear was doing wonders for my IQ. With the distant hum of our incoming bird, it was all I could do not to vomit on either woman. Commander Preston was entirely too cool for the soon-to-be hot morning.
"Don't worry, Warrant Bast, he's not my type. Governor Barthel thought an extra bodyguard would come in handy for today's mission, and I can see he was right."
"Olivia, you ever been in a shooting war before?" I thought it a pertinent, if not overly stupid, question.
"Several. I did my full 10 in the Guard. I didn't get this job because of my looks."
I never meant to imply otherwise. I'd noted Commander Preston's aggression at the governor's estate, and so had the Barthel House steward. I'm sure the workers at the recycling plant would be sending her a thank you for the donation. As the gunship rose over the cliffside, Warrant Bast took over.
"Five, keep it together. Keep your eyes where I can see them and keep us alive."
That would have been the perfect spot for Keegan to pause and give me a kiss, but our full helms were already in place. I settled for a romantic tug on my chin strap and got down to business. "Commander Preston, please stay within 2 steps of me at all times. Closer if Keegan allows it. We'll be going in under a hot rain, and I'll be deploying a tactical shield." Compared to a mind-bending 10-mile walk through narrow, forgotten service tunnels, our trip into the outskirts of Secundus was a literal breeze. The ramp off the Valkyrie's backside never closed for the 3 minutes we spent in the air. I channeled a defensive barrier around the entire bird as it touched down. The bubble morphed into a giant curtain wall as the first few rounds pinged at us from a distance, and it shrank to a 3-person cone once the gunship had found cover beneath the edge of the cliff. I'd never experienced the thrill and the violence of the Imperial Guard's overwatch tactics, but figured a lightning storm on the broken plains between cities was close enough on the scales of violence. I might have been wrong. The enemy was awake. There were trenches ahead filled with arms and furious movement. Beams of laser fire crisscrossed our position as a few hundred traitor guard took their best shots. Incoming rounds from enemy batteries east landed between us and walked in our direction. Feeling bold at the steady flow of dark energy across the psyker net, I walked straight towards Secundus with Keegan and Commander Preston practically hugging in my shadow. Our tactical shield became a dome, and I pulled hard on my telekine arc to keep it steady. The translucent overturned bowl deflected energy, creating an unreal pocket of calm beneath the storm, but it only took one burst to ruin the morning inside. The rebels' own barrage followed us into their trench lines, creating a scene of utter confusion. Enemy soldiers were blown apart by invisible concussive waves. Everywhere we looked, traitors disappeared, adding to the soundless bloody rain. I staggered forward between trenches. It's one thing to tear one's immediate reality apart, and another to watch it happen on a scale beyond comprehension. My mind ran out of room to process what I saw. Keegan's hand found mine. Her head was bowed forward, and I was sure her eyes were closed. Olivia Preston struck a similar pose. The incoming rounds faltered, and the cloud of blood and dust began to settle. In the distance, hundreds more defenders poured from beneath the city's massive shield, showing us the way in. "Don't," I whispered. "Don't come out." Keegan whispered back,
"Everybody makes their own choice."
Nobody chooses war, especially not a person that has seen it up close and personal. Like Keegan Bast or Olivia Preston, they had chosen duty and blind faith, praying that at the end of the day, they would still be there to receive the next. The guards' overwatch batteries west of the rift kicked in. Every fething thing beyond our tiny bubble of not war came apart. The ground danced and buckled, throwing us into the air. We clung to each other as we tumbled into a trench. Walls collapsed. In seconds, we were buried alive in a misshapen cocoon. In the sudden darkness of our tomb, I took a deep breath and rearranged our shield, pushing back the dirt and dust so we could breathe. We were together in a pocket under tons of debris, and I noted the fact that Olivia Preston had landed on top of me with her hell gun wedged into my side. Muffled vibrations danced above us like the footsteps of a drunk colossus and finally staggered away. Back in the distant trenches of Gaul Primus, Psyker Baltimore Kane and the other telekines had to have enjoyed my massive tug of dark energy. With a telekinetic push, our tiny pocket erupted, one more crater in a field of nothing but. We scrambled up and out. The local trenches and their adjoining supply lines were gone, replaced by a reddish no-man's land of deep dents, random moguls, and remnants of traitors that had once guarded the southern flank of Gaul Secundus. We moved quickly, taking advantage of the shock, the dust, and the huge gap in the rebels' defenses. Our protective dome added a shadowy cloak. We snuck into the city through one of the supply tunnels beneath the hive shield. Muffled alarms squawked in the distance, warning us away. We'd seen horrors in Tertius, but this was more. Silent cadavers hung like recruitment posters from every corner, service bay, or foundational pier. Many had buckets beneath them to catch the drippings. Many were freshly butchered, while others hung desiccated and unrecognizable. Most wore uniforms of the Guard, PDF, or Adeptus Arbitus, but there were civilians among them, men and women, young and old. It was impossible to ignore the strategically placed corpses. As we worked our way inward, hunting for a functional central lift bay, the shock painted on Olivia Preston's face spoke volumes. She'd never experienced a civilian hellscape and couldn't fight back against those already dead, but there was more to it. The scene was a trap for our minds. The environment pawed at our humanity as if it was a toy. It dragged our souls sideways and invited us to join in the fun. To top it off, the weight of the Bloodthorn's will permeated all, promising power without thought or consequence. It was a dirge that hammered us flat. 2 miles in, we neared the heart of the city, Central Ground Zero. We'd gotten far enough to escape the outer subsector alarms, and a suitable lift bay loomed ahead. A squad of traitor guardsmen surrounded it, leaning on barriers and joking in subdued tones as the weak city lights flickered all around. Day existed at the machine spirit's whim. The inconstant race of light brought movement to the corpses and a slow blink to their eyes. It was all an illusion, but powerful nonetheless. It marked the borderland between pure chaos and the mind of a psyker. The eyes of my escorts had started to bleed. We could go no farther and there was no going back. "Hold," I said, dropping our hazy cloak and making our protective cone fully opaque. Safe within another dark cocoon, I took Keegan's hand. "Kiss me." She did, giving me an unreal fever. She nudged me at first, offering herself, and I grasped onto her power, gently pulling it forth and savoring the connection. Our hearts began to race, following the energy to its climax as silver amplified the result. When I could hold it no more, I knelt and traced a V on the plascrete floor. Keegan screamed out in ecstasy as the pent-up spell exploded into the city's heart. At first, only I could see what occurred beyond our cone-shaped walls. Reality disintegrated. It jumped from terror-minded militant control to pure annihilation. Bodies didn't sizzle or cook. Living or dead, they boiled in an instant, exploded in clouds of ash, and were blown away by a psychic wave that cascaded outward for more than a mile. Beginning a foot outside our cone, the blast matched the heat of a plasma bomb, but the mixture of silver and pyromantic energy had an intelligence and a will of its own. I'd given it a narrow target, where a plasma bomb would have melted the supports and foundings that kept the city upright. I'd targeted costumes and weapons, flesh and blood, determination and conceit. I left nothing for the enemy to wield against us. Nothing but ash. Keegan had been wrapped in my personal shield. With her eyes closed, she only experienced the inner joy of an epic release. I held her there as the light and the heat dissipated. The ongoing conflict had feasted on her heart in unspoken ways, but not every moment needed to be a nightmare, and sometimes it gave back more than it took away. A few secondary explosions echoed at the edges of my new domain. Commander Preston staggered sideways toward the outer wall of our protection, and I snagged her wrist. It wasn't a good time to be wandering off. I finally dropped the outer screen. Keegan knew what I'd done. She'd seen the scourge in bits and pieces during our escape from Tertius, but Preston had never dreamt of such a scene. The landscape proclaimed an epic shift in the battle against the Blood Cult. Lacking any alarms, moans, or bucket brigades, the bank of elevators waited in eerie silence for our use. I pulled the commander a step closer, saying, "Who do you serve?"
You don't need me here. You don't need my protection.
Preston was more than spooked. You haven't seen Miss Bast when she's angry.
The governor...
The governor is blinded by his tall towers and the minions that surround him. You're not. I pointed upward. We have more work to do, so answer my question.
How am I supposed to know?
I shrugged, saying, "You cut off my last sermon. It's time for you to choose."
That little girl. She holds the key, doesn't she?
I didn't deny it. That girl helped me free Tertius from the cultist's grip. I will gladly repeat today's performance in the Overhive of Gaul Primus if anything bad happens to her.
What is she to you?
A beacon. An anchor. Salvation. To me, nothing. To Aegea V and its future, she may be the one that holds it together.
How?
That's not for me to say. I reached into my coat, producing a well-traveled inquisitorial seal. I'll ask you again. Who do you serve?
What's her name? The girl?
Lizzie Alibrand. She spent the last 3 months living on her own in Upper Tertius, hiding from the Blood Cult and visiting the mutilated body of her dead father. She likes to be called Six, but only in secret, and I won't leave this world without her.
What am I supposed to do?
Protect her, I said. If Governor Barthel or anyone else complains, remember this moment.
You carried a different seal yesterday.
I shrugged. I traded up. With Lord Mantisera, we have a chance.
At what?
Winning this war.
What about Warrant Bast?
She traded down.
Why are her eyes bleeding and not yours?
I brushed my thumb gently across Preston's cheek, showing her a vibrant red. I'm unmarked. It means the Bloodthorn's curse can't get a grip on me. Other things most certainly had. Enormous maintenance bots began vacuuming up the dusty remains in Ground Zero. The explosion had flashed into being, cleansing the main sector for a mile in every direction. My simple name glowed like a star at the center of it all. It was a different kind of beacon, a message telling chaos to bugger off or burn. We took the lift to Sector 80A, the compound of the Ecclesiarchy. The temple had been converted into a fountain, its front steps a bloodfall. Every step contained a row of names beneath the outpouring of blood. The life force of the officers and anointed defenders of the cult of the Emperor fed the Bloodthorn's ambitions. The temple's diamond-coated glass windows were works of art beyond the reach of the cultists. It took more than a hellgun to scratch them. And the golden gaze of the Emperor still looked down upon the scene as if he approved. Olivia Preston was promoted to witness for the damned. She forced open the temple doors and stepped away, retching off to one side. The filters in our helmets couldn't fully dispel the corruption that spilled forth. Keegan offered to burn it clean, but the dense power of the glyphs would remain, locking the souls in place. I knelt on the lowest step, my back to the courtyard that introduced the temple, and asked Keegan to join me. I was topped off in terms of silver energy, but Six had taught me to share in the act of redemption. Deliverance brought release, and in the end, a sanctioned escape to another dimension. We would be creating another portal into the Sea of Souls. I kissed Keegan's right hand and placed it on top of my left. My palm touched the angry, iron-scented paint of the nearest sigil. "Together," I whispered. My earlier spell had been an act of war. This was something else. A marriage, perhaps. Melding psychers, cities, and souls. Until death do us part. Keegan responded with a tendril of heat seeping through her palm, and I used it as ink to write my name in its simplest form, a single silver V edged in a psychic fire. In an instant, the shrine was marked, claimed in the name of the Emperor, and backing all that was real. Our combined power ran up the steps and through the open doors, devouring the curse and the corruption that sallied forth. The shift in the overtone was palpable. The Emperor was pleased. His golden face imploded in a shower of priceless glass.